Brother David for that intro. And we want to welcome everyone that's watching by way of Facebook. Welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs, and hope everybody has had a great day today. And I know that we've had a great day, and we had a wonderful service this morning, and we hope you were blessed by watching. And of course, we used the sermon title, Essential Lessons from God's Men. And we just look back on some things that some of the great men in the Old Testament learned, some lessons that they learned in life that made their walk with the Lord better and beneficial. And so we did our best this morning to mention some of those things. So we hope and we pray that you were encouraged by that, that message this morning that we brought. Well, tonight's a brand new service, and we're looking forward to the service this evening, and I hope you are. Let's continue to remember everyone on our prayer list. Let's remember our nation tonight as we undergo this new week. Of course, the president-elect will go through his inauguration process, and so let's pray for protection over our land. Let's pray for protection over our leaders. Let's remember those in law enforcement, all of our first responders for that matter. Let's just remember for a peaceful week this week. We know that God's in control no matter who's in the White House and no matter what is going on in our world. Our Lord is in control. Nothing has caught him by surprise. And everything that's over our heads, as old saying goes, is under his feet. So tonight we rejoice and God being in control. Again, let's remember everyone on the prayer list. Specifically tonight, let's remember Miss Catherine Plemons' mother, and that's Miss Marge, as she's been having a rough time this past week. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then Lily, I asked Lily to sing tonight, and so she's going to come around in just a moment and sing, I Am Blessed. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight. In Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, the name by which man is saved, the name of Jesus, the name one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And Father, tonight I pray that you would bless our nation, bless our leaders, Lord. Lord, we are encouraged that it says in Proverbs that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And he turneth it whithersoever he will. And Lord, while there may be one that's in office that we're not, that we, Lord, did not value to be our president, he is going to be our president, so we pray for him. But Father, at the same time, his heart is in your hands, and you can do with him what you would like to do. So we pray for peace in America. We pray, Lord, that you would protect our land and give us all souls for our labor as we labor for you. We love you tonight. We praise you for who you are, for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now, and the things that you're going to do. Father, tonight we are rapture ready. We welcome the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us from this place called earth to a heavenly place called heaven. We welcome that tonight. Bless the singing, bless the preaching, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We are truly blessed tonight. Thank you for that wonderful song, Lily. I want to be in the book of Proverbs for a few moments this evening. Proverbs chapter number 25. Proverbs 25. And this is going to be our main verse tonight. We are staying put right here in Proverbs 25. And jumped around a little bit, but tonight we're going to look into Proverbs 25 in verse number 28. Proverbs 25 in verse number 28, just after we pray. Father, we thank you that all blessings come from you. We are blessed tonight beyond measure. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would use us to be a blessing to our virtual audience. Thank you for those that are tuning in on Facebook. Thankful for that, Lord. Tonight I pray that we would be a blessing and a help, and we'll praise you for those who are helped, those watching, and my family that's here. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Proverbs chapter number 25. Notice, if you would, verse number 28. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse number 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What a verse tonight. It is speaking about the spirit of man. Who we are as people. And the verse emphasizes tonight the out of control spirit. You ever heard someone say that, man, I can't believe that person in traffic. They were just out of control driving like that. We had one of those kind of drivers today that was in front of us coming home from lunch. An out of control driver. But our world tonight is filled with not only drivers that are out of control, but just people who are out of control. And there's something very, very dangerous about the spirit of a person who does not have any control over their life. I want you to notice the word rule here in verse number 28. He says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. The word rule here in the KJV, the word rule, it means control. It means to have control, be in control. And so he is talking about the person who is lacking that. The person who is missing that element in their life of being in control. He that hath no rule, or he that hath no control over his own spirit. It's possible tonight to lose control. Many people lose control. And just because a person may know Jesus as their Savior, may be a born-again Christian and attend church regularly and read their Bible and pray, doesn't mean they can't come to the place of losing control. I believe we all can confess tonight to the reality that during this pandemic, a lot of people have lost control. During this political war we've been encountering, a lot of people have lost control. And I foresee many more people losing control as we continue on in our world with the pandemic and politics and protesting even. Just losing control. Well, tonight I want to use that topic. I want to use that idea. And I want to preach a few moments on this subject. The out of control spirit. The out of control spirit. And I want you to notice not only that word rule. He that hath no rule or control over his own spirit. The Bible goes on and says he is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, he says that the person that hath no rule over his own spirit is like basically a demolished city. A city that is broken down and without walls. Let me ask a question tonight. Why does and did Jerusalem, why were there walls there? Why do we have walls today? Well, we have walls today because they are protective walls. They protect, they keep the enemy out, and they keep the people in. At least in Bible days, that's what they were used for, to protect the city. And so he says that the person who has no control over his own spirit is like living their life outside or out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. They're like a city with no walls. They are susceptible for the attacks of the devil, exposed to the assault of every temptation. The person who is out of control, the person who does not monitor their spirit and bring it into subjection to God, and the person who says, well, you know, I've just had enough of this church thing. I've just had enough of this pandemic and politics. I've had enough of all of it. I'm just going to do what I want to do for a little while. Well, friend of mine, if you have that kind of mentality, that kind of mindset, you are on your way to the defeat of Satan and his attacks. So the person who has no control, no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. They're living their life without security measures in place. They're living their life without being fortified and protected spiritually, physically, and emotionally. They're just totally defenseless. So the question is tonight, are you out of control? And I realize I may be preaching to the choir virtually tonight, but there may be someone tonight who is out of control. They have this spirit where they don't care anymore. They have given up and let themselves go in areas of their life that used to be important. Tonight, let me say that spiritual digression can be a sign of letting go. Spiritual digression can be a sign over someone who is out of control with their spirit. At one time in life, they were at one place. They were faithful to church. They were faithful to God. They were reading and praying, and they were going to fellowships, and they were present in person, in body, in mind. They were present when the family was around, and they would go to events, and they would just be present mentally. But now they have digressed. Now they have retreated. Now they are in retreat. They are a reclusive person. And we're not labeling everybody. If you were going through a time of retreat, or, you know, you're staying home for a while because of the pandemic, we're not talking about that. And we're not labeling, stereotyping everyone. But what I am saying is that is one of the earmarks of someone who has a spirit that's out of control, is when they spiritually digress. They go backwards. They backslide because they're not where they used to be. And now they're at a place of being defenseless. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. They're not functional anymore. They're operating by being broken. So tonight I want to mention some things when it comes to this reality of the out of control spirit. Number one, The out-of-control spirit, the person who has a spirit that's out of control, there's always self-destruction that follows. The out-of-control spirit starts out down the road of self-destruction. Think about it for a moment. The person that says, what's the use? Why even try? I go to do good, and bad is always there. Bad always comes out of it, even when I do good. And nothing is getting better in our world. My home life is messed up, so why even try? And so that kind of person with that attitude and spirit begins to loosen up in their life, going after these things, after these endeavors of having a good home life and a good spiritual life. And they set out now down a road of self-destruction. Sometimes self-destruction is immediate. It's immediate sometimes. You know, we hear the story of the son that was made to go to church their whole life. And then finally they graduate from high school and they move out. They go to college. And then what happened? Not all the time. Not all the time, but sometimes they self-destruct. They meet the wrong people and they go to drinking parties and they meet this one, they meet that one, and drugs are involved. You remember the story in Luke 15, at least verse number 11 through 13, the prodigal son. He told his father, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. He wanted his inheritance while his daddy was still living. And so he got his inheritance. And he went to a far country, the Bible says. And what does it say? It says that he spent all that he had with riotous living, loose living. And listen, while he was in that far country, and while he had money, he had friends. But as soon as the money ran out, he himself was alone. And the Bible says that there was a famine in the land, or there was a storm brewing that was coming. Isn't that something? When this prodigal was in a foreign land, and there was a storm and a famine, and all of those things taking place, at that very moment he was broke. That's the providence of Almighty God. That is God bringing someone who was spiraling out of control in self-destruction. God showed up in that storm when it came to that prodigal. Because the Bible goes on and says that he joined himself a citizen of that country. And he actually would have even eaten the husk that the swine did eat. He ended up in the pig pen. It was a slow self-destructive pattern in his life. And it all started when he lost control at the Father's house. Sometimes in life, self-destruction is immediate. And sometimes it happens fast and quick. But other times, self-destruction is gradual. Sometimes when someone loses control, when someone is out of control, sometimes it happens immediately, the path to self-destruction, but sometimes it's gradual. Heard about the businessman that said he needed some me time. And so he finally escapes the hustle and bustle of life, and he goes to the nightclubs. He meets a woman and he has a relationship with her, only for her to show up on his doorstep 9 months later with a baby, and now he has AIDS and he dies. A slow and grueling process of self-destruction. And listen, church, we are not exempt from this. Listen, those who are viewing that probably aren't Calvary members, you and I, none of us, saved or lost, is not exempt from having an out-of-control spirit. And from getting to the place where we self-destruct, whether it's immediate or whether it's gradual, the Bible tells us, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, what if tonight Atlanta was that way, and we're getting that way? But what if tonight Atlanta, if you got in your car and you took a trip through Atlanta, and there was nobody there, the buildings were falling over, and some have already fallen over, busted out windows, bridges coming apart, no traffic, nobody there, just a cold, sad Atlanta. And again, we're heading in that direction. The writer here is comparing that to the person that's out of control. You go to Atlanta tonight, and you will, pre-adventure, even the suburbs, before you get to Atlanta, you will find people that are homeless, that are asking for money, that are strung out on dope and drugs and all of those things, and they within themselves look like a broken down city. You can tell that they have been on the streets a while. Tonight, we're not knocking those who are homeless. We're not knocking those who are on dope and on drugs, because we fully believe that Jesus died for every person, and anybody can rebound out of a lifestyle of that. In fact, a good friend of ours, Brother Paul, I hadn't seen him in a long time, but he was the leader down there, the main preacher at Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission for a number of years, where the homeless would come, those that were broken down, those that were without hope, so to speak, those who had no control over their spirit, who have just let go of living and let go of life. Brother Paul, he would always post and comment, and of course, he used to work with WDCY Radio, and he would mention how many people got saved down there, how many people now have Bible in hand, dressed up, going to church. Listen, there is self-destruction. And like the old saying goes, that sin will make you pay more than you're willing to pay, make you stay longer than you're willing to stay. That's what sin will do. Self-destruction, the out-of-control spirit. Sometimes it's immediate, other times it's gradual. There's a second thing I want to mention when it comes to this out-of-control spirit. Number one, their self-destruction. But number two, there can be setback in the family. Did you know tonight that one person, anybody as individuals that commits sin, that chooses to let go and not hold themselves accountable anymore, did you know that that person's sin doesn't just affect them and their life? It affects everybody around them. Romans 14 in verse number 7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." And that just simply means if you're alive in the things that you do with your life, it affects not just you. And when a person dies, it doesn't just affect you. The person who died is dead, but it affects everybody around them that are living. So tonight, when it comes to the out-of-control spirit, there can be setback in the family. Wonder if I'm preaching to anybody tonight that's experienced setback in the family because of someone who had an out-of-control spirit, someone who gave up on life, someone who loosened up on their efforts and them going after God with a whole heart. It can happen. It can affect everybody under the roof. Everything we do affects our family and friends in some way. That's why it's always good, even when you feel bad, to maintain a good attitude. Because when you have a bad attitude, it affects everybody. It's like a smell that's not good. It stinks. A bad attitude does. And so tonight, there's setback in the family when it comes to the out-of-control spirit. Think about David. David's decision to lie with Bathsheba. You remember the result of that? Four died. Uriah died, which was the husband of Bathsheba. David's baby died. Amnon died. Absalom died. And not only that, but there was a time where David was told not even to number Israel, and he did. And you know what happened when David numbered Israel? 70,000 men died. The person with the out-of-control spirit, it doesn't just affect them, but it affects others. And we see that in the pages of God's Word. What about Lot? You remember Lot? The Bible says that Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. If you can remember, Lot being the nephew of Abraham, and both men had lots of cattle, lots of possessions. And it came to the place where Lot and Abraham had too much. They had to go their separate ways. And Abraham, being that godly figure in Lot's life, says, "You choose. I'll go the other way." And Lot chose what looked good. He looked across the plains and he looked and he found some well-watered plains. The grass was real lush and looked like it was doing well over there. He says, "I'm choosing to go in that direction." The only problem with that, it was in the area where Sodom was. Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember the story, you follow that out in Genesis 19, you'll find that Lot, when the Lord rained down fire and brimstone from heaven, that they were escaping. It was Lot and his wife and his kids. They were escaping. Lot escaped, but he turned around and his wife did not escape. In fact, she turned into a pillar of salt. She was gone. And it all was because of the leader of the home. It was because of Lot, who had opportunity to look in the right directions, but he looked towards Sodom and he made his decision based upon emotions. It looks good. But we see that his wife didn't make it. And we know that Sodom and Gomorrah was torched. There wasn't even 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so decisions and things that we do affect our family. Now, what about Samson? Remember Samson and Delilah? Samson had the touch of God upon his life. Samson, at one time, he tied hundreds of foxtails together. How would you even catch one fox? Well, he caught many foxes and tied their tails together with a fire torch, sent them into enemy territory. And Samson defeated, he killed a young lion, and Samson did all of these great things. But there was a time where he fell in love with the wrong person. And it was Delilah. She was in it for the money. There was an occasion where Delilah, because others, the enemy was asking, saying, "Where? You tell us. You talk to Samson and find out where his great strength lies." And so time and time again, over and over, Delilah would talk to Samson and ask, "Where is your, what's your secret, Samson? Why are you such a strong spiritual man?" And then one day, one faithful day, Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And I can just picture in my mind's eye how Delilah was running her fingers through his hair. And Samson said, "Delilah, don't tell nobody, but my strength is from my hair." And as she's stroking his hair, she says, "Oh, is that right? Your hair." You see, Samson took a Nazarite vow and he upheld it from his youth. And one of the qualifications, one of the things you have to uphold for the Nazarite vow, the Nazarite vow, one part of it is, there can be no razor that touches your hair. No razor that touches your hair. And so, this pictures, and this was the reason why Samson had the power that he had. He was obeying the Lord. About that time, here comes the barber. Samson got a haircut. Samson got a haircut at the devil's barbershop. And the Bible goes on and it says that he went out as other times to shake himself. Because in the past he would do that and the power of God would come on him. And he was able to rent a lion into pieces, catch all these foxes. But the Bible says that he shook himself. Come on, God, where are you at? I need your help. And he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Now listen, church. As New Testament believers, we do not believe the Spirit of God will ever depart from a person once you receive Him. And all these scriptures in the New Testament bear that out. No man can pluck us out of His hand. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. But in the Old Testament regime and plan, the scheme of things, we see that Samson went out to shake himself, to get that power on him, and he could not. He had broken the Nazarite vow. And you see, when Samson decided to go with Delilah, it cost him his life ultimately. He lost his touch of God. And then at the end of Samson's life, they plucked his eyes out. And then finally, he asked God one more time. He grabbed the pillars where he was at of the structure of the building, and he pulled those pillars out. And the Bible says that Samson killed more in his death than he did in his life. How about that tonight? Samson, while there was some good that came out of that, Samson committed suicide. Listen, there is setback in the family with an out-of-control spirit. Samson had an out-of-control spirit. He lost his touch with God. He lost his vision, and he committed suicide. Tonight I want to say that we need to be people who are always checking our spirit, who are always getting in touch with God. And let us ask God, if there's anything we struggle with, God, make it impossible not to give in. Lord, our prayer ought to be, Lord, direct our steps into pathways of righteousness for your name's sake. And God will protect us if we want to be protected. You won't find yourself being at the wrong place at the wrong time if you're in the right place all the time. There's setback in the family. None of us live to himself and dies to himself. Romans 14:7. And we've seen that bear it out in David's life, Lot's life. And then we see it in Samson's life. His mom and dad had to find out that they didn't have a son anymore. There's one more thing I want to mention and we'll be done. The out of control spirit tonight, there's self-destruction. Sometimes it's immediate, other times it's gradual. The out-of-control spirit tonight, there's setback in the family. And then lastly, there's still hope for recovery. Praise the Lord for that. There is still hope for that person who is out of control. I'm reminded of the story in Mark 5 of the demonic man of Gadara and how that he was a man that was demon-possessed. And the Bible says that his living quarters was in the graveyard. And he was there night and day, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was out of control. And then one day, the disciples, Jesus, they went over to the other side of the sea, and their boat ran ashore right where the maniac man of Gadara lived, the land of the Gadarenes. And here comes this crazy maniac running out and stopped right in front of Jesus. They had a conversation. Jesus told him who he was because he asked. And to make a long story short, Jesus cast that devil, many devils. His name was Legion, which means many, many devils and demons out of that man. And then we find that that man was After his conversion, he was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's the difference Jesus can make. You say, Brother Justin, tonight I have a family member who's just out of control and they're on drugs, they're on alcohol. Yet, let me say to you tonight, there's still hope for them. Don't quit praying for them. Like we preached this morning about Elijah. He sent his man to go look. One time, there's nothing. Another time, nothing. It was on that seventh time where he sent his servant to look for that cloud that was holding the rain, and it was there. You may have prayed for a loved one time and time and time again. Maybe it's you that needs the help. You've been declining spiritually. You've been fading fastly, and you need a touch from God. Listen, there is still hope for you tonight. There's still hope for recovery. There's only one thing you'll find when you're out of control. You'll come to a place where you reach the end of your rope. My prayer is that you don't have to reach the end of your rope, but it's the testimony of others and several in the Bible that when they got to a place that they reached the end of their rope, there was hope. Hope at the end of your rope. Nope to dope. Hope at the end of your rope. They found hope at the end of their rope. Mark chapter number 5, in verse number 25. Let me turn there for a moment. Mark 5, verse 25. There was a woman there who had an issue of blood. You remember the story. I just want to mention a couple verses. Mark 5 and verse number 25. And the woman with the issue of blood, what you'll realize here is she was at the end of her rope. I want to back up and read verse number 25. Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she came and heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You go on and read, and Jesus in verse number 30, said, who touched me? Virtue has gone out from me. And it was her. It was her. It was her faith that Jesus felt. He felt her faith. He was on his way to make a visit to Jairus because his daughter was about to die and did die. But was stopped by the throng of the people. Many people touching him, but he recognized only one touch. And it was the touch of the woman with the issue of blood. And the reason why he recognized her touch and not all them other people's touches is because she was at the end of her rope. She had nowhere else to go. She had suffered things from many physicians. She spent all the money that she had, and she was nothing bettered. She was at the end of her rope. She touched Jesus. She was made whole. That's why Jesus said, who touched me? Many people were touching him, but it was her faith that he recognized. And tonight you may be watching this. You may have an out-of-control spirit. You may have given up on life or someone that you know. But I want to say there is still hope for them. There's hope for you. And it all comes down to reaching out through the eye of faith with a heart full of faith. Can't go anywhere else. You've used up all of your substance and exit doors in life. You're nothing better. But you could touch Jesus tonight. You could touch him. He has power to heal tonight. And when you are at the end of your rope, there is hope. There was hope with the woman who had the issue of blood. But then back to the story, and we'll conclude. Back to the story of the prodigal. We see the son that was done. We mentioned the woman who had issues, but the son, that was done. He reached the end of his rope. He said, in the pig pen, hungry, wasted the inheritance he demanded of his father all of his life for him, his father had for him. He wasted it. In the pig pen, nowhere to go, no friends. But he said, in essence, I will arise and go to my father's house. I will arise and go to my father's house. And he started stepping in the right direction. And when he got there, he was still a great way off. But the Bible says that his father saw him while he was yet a great way off. Which tells me that the father was looking for a son. The devil tonight likes to tell you and me that there's no use of getting right. There's no use of getting right with God again. You'll just fail again. There's no use going back to church, watching it on Facebook. There is just no use. God, all these things that I've done. Listen, the Father is looking for your return tonight. He is watching and He is waiting. Look, there is hope at the end of your rope. The Son, He was done. He made His way back to the Father's house. And the Bible says that He fell on His neck and He kissed Him. Did you know by the disgrace and by Jewish law, this father had the right to crush the neck of his son? The neck of his son. He had the right, when his son came, to just crush his neck. You are a disgrace. He didn't crush him, but he kissed him. And tonight, let none of us buy in to this mean God mentality. God is a God of love. Yes, He's a God of justice. Yes, He's a God who chastens His sons and daughters. But if you're away from God tonight, He's looking for you. He's wanting you to return. There is still hope for you. There is hope for recovery tonight for the person with the out of control spirit. Both people received help when they reached the end of themselves. And I guess that's when most help is reached. But the whole idea in plea is to not hit rock bottom. Is to not get to the end of your rope. Let prayer and Jesus be your first resort, not your last resort. So tonight, the out of control spirit, there was hope for recovery. Unfortunately, there's setback in the family. And unfortunately, there's self-destruction. Again, the Bible described in Proverbs 25, in verse number 28, He says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let us all tonight be in control of ourselves, carry the right kind of attitude, and be a witness to some soul in this old world as we're living in the last days. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. Lord, I pray that maybe there was something said that a viewer needed to hear. Lord, we're always conscientious of the fact that we have to maintain a controlled spirit. Paul even talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe. He said that he buffets himself. He has to put himself under strict governments in order to control the appetites of the flesh. Help us all do that tonight and not just loosen up in our spiritual life, but help us be people who are structured and people who have defenses against the wiles of the devil. Protect us, Lord. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.